This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Just trying to get Adrian Camilleri on the line, Associate Professor of Marketing at the University of Technology, Sydney, to talk about the psychology behind online shopping. Adrian, have we got you?
I am here.
Oh, fantastic. All right. Now, when we see free shipping, what's happening psychologically that makes it feel like such a win, even if the maths is identical?
Yeah, like paying that shipping fee, it kind of feels like a penalty, doesn't it? You're not really getting any tangible product for that $10. So, you know, in behavioral economics, there's something showing that zero, it's not just a lower price. It almost flips a psychological switch. When you remove that cost completely, we get this almost like a surge of positive emotions, and we feel that the deal, it's much more valuable than it really is.
Well, during COVID, I know many of us got used to fast and free delivery. How has that shifted our expectations as online shoppers?
Yeah, so during that COVID period, you know, a lot of us moved ourselves over to online shopping. And we got used to a lot of these promotions that were offering free shipping and much more, well, we became habitual behavior, buying online and expecting that product to show up the next day. But COVID's gone, but the shipping is not free, of course. So somewhere along the line, someone has to pay for it.
With I know something that I notice a lot is this minimum spend sort of trap, you know, spend $55 and you get free shipping, but the order, I mean, everything's like $49 in the shop. Why are we so, I suppose, quick to add an extra item instead of just paying the delivery fee, particularly in that case, like if the items are, you know, almost just under that free shipping cost?
Yeah, so this is tapping into something psychologists call the goal gradient effect. And basically, as humans, the closer we get to a goal, the harder that we work to achieve it. So when retailers set up this threshold, this minimum spend, they're basically gamifying the checkout process. And as we get closer to the goal, you know, what's another item? You know, better to spend $15 on something tangible like a pair of novelty socks than to waste it on this invisible courier fee. And that's obviously what the retailer wants, because you end up buying things that you never intended to, which is inflating their sales.
So this goal gradient effect, I mean, so the retailers aren't calculating, you know what, if they spend this amount, I can cover the shipping costs. Nothing to do with that. There's actually a psychology behind it. They want us to spend more.
Well, they're definitely taking advantage of the goal gradient effect. And if they weren't offering this threshold, then they would definitely be losing money because, you know, delivery trucks, they're not running on goodwill, right? Shipping costs across the country is never actually free. So if there isn't this threshold, then the cost is almost certainly baked into the base price of the product somehow. So you might be avoiding seeing that extra line at checkout saying shipping, but you're probably still paying for postage.
What about when we top up our cart with something random in that case, like a pair of socks or a candle or something useless that we don't need? Are we usually spending more than we would have had we just paid the shipping on the one item?
In many cases, we are spending more because, as you said, sometimes the maths don't work out, so that you're not at threshold, you're exceeding it, right? But that does lead us to another problem, which is that in many cases, having this free shipping option encourages people to put things into the cart that maybe they don't really want to buy or they're not sure. So, you know, we might call that people are being more risky. So you might buy two different shirts in different sizes, kind of planning from the beginning that you're going to return one of them. And that's not going to be good for business, right? Because if they're also covering shipping on the way back, now the retailer has to pay delivery backwards and for the return.
What about large retailers that, you know, some large clothing retailers, for example, that fast fashion, that have free shipping all the time? How does that work?
Well, in many cases, they've got distribution centers that are nearby and they're actually stocking them. I know some of the much larger companies that they have distribution warehouses that actually predict what sales are going to be like in the local region. And that's how they're managing to achieve these economies of scale, but also the super fast turnaround where you might buy something, you know, while you're lying in bed at night at 10:30 p.m. and then it's there when you wake up in the morning at 8 a.m.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Adrian Camilleri from the University of Technology in Sydney about whether free shipping really does exist, or are we just paying in other ways? Adrian, let's turn to free returns. I know it's something that I get attracted to. That's a big one. Does free shipping and returns encourage us to take more risks when we buy?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, there's lots of research showing that free shipping, free returns, many more people are putting things into their carts, having them shipped to their house. Many cases, they might keep both products, right? But they might not go to the hassle of returning them. But in many cases, they will return one of the items. And so that cost needs to be covered as well, because retailers can't sustain those losses forever. So to compensate, they will eventually have to raise the base prices of all their items. So essentially everyone is paying for that added convenience. And, you know, there's also kind of environmental consequences, you know, to all of this needless shipping. So in the most part, I kind of would suggest, you know, not to engage in that kind of behavior.
What about subscription models like Amazon Prime, for example?
Yeah, so some companies move away or combine in a hybrid system the threshold system where you have to spend a certain amount before you get free shipping, or they offer a membership. So you might pay something at the beginning of the year or maybe every month, and then you get free shipping. So that taps into something psychologists would call mental accounting, which is this idea that we keep mental accounts in our mind where we put money into different psychological buckets. And so when we pay that upfront yearly fee, we kind of mentally account, that's a sunk cost, that's gone, that's money already spent. And now that that fee's already been paid, the purchase, every purchase feels like it comes with a little free bonus. And so we shop way more frequently on that specific platform just to feel like we're getting our money's worth. And we can, right? It's free from that point onward. But psychologists would say that we're now kind of trapped on something called the hedonic treadmill, which is this idea that we keep buying, gives us a little blip of happiness, but then we're on to the next thing after we return to our kind of base point of happiness.
Is that how the big retailer Costco works? They've got a membership fee. Is that the same sort of thing? You feel like once you've paid the fee, you've got to go there more often to get your money back?
Yeah, that's right. They get the money at the beginning. You're kind of locked in. And at that point, it's kind of all gravy. And you feel like, all right, I've got to go back there. I've already committed to that retailer. So they love it when you do that.
I wonder if it actually pays off in the long run.
Well, it depends on the customer, right? Some customers, you know, if they start making a purchase every single morning for 365 days, that's definitely not going to be great for the retail. No. But a lot of customers are not doing that. And I think in the end, it works out for the Amazons of the world.
So, Adrian, if we want to be smarter shoppers, what's, I suppose, a simple thing we can do before clicking buy now, a simple mental check to make sure we're not falling for any illusions?
The thing that I do is I ask myself, do I really need this item to arrive tomorrow or even this week? Instead of, you know, panic buying, filling up your cart just to get to that threshold, you know, what I do and advise others is to let your digital cart fill up naturally. It might take weeks, maybe even months, but you're going to be putting things into the cart that you genuinely need. And as a result, you'll eventually hit that free shipping threshold, but you'll do it on your own terms and you won't be buying into this illusion.
Nina in Northcote says, I leave stuff in my cart for a week now. They keep sending me reminders. If I still want it, I'll buy it after a week. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, sometimes they'll actually send you a discount if you leave things in your shopping cart for a while. So that could be another nice benefit.
There you go. Thank you so much for chatting with us, Adrian.
Thank you.
Thank you, Associate Professor Adrian Camilleri from the University of Technology in Sydney.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.